You're listening to Bears Beyond the Gate, a Bristol Bears podcast made by fans for fans. We're two, soon to be three, season card holders at Ashton Gate who love the club, the game and all things Bears. This week, after a little bit of a delay, we talk about the last home game of the season versus Sarries, where our playoff hopes took a fairly sizable dent in the face of a really focused and decent opposition. We're still in the running for fourth spot, but it's tight. Tighter than the Duke's wallet when the tax man comes calling. We need a bonus point win against Quins, but then so do they. So do they. So one thing's for sure, it ain't going to be a 3-0 draw. And maybe, just maybe, it might be a Quinstanbul this time. Who knows? Once we chatted about that, we will also have a little chat about the 17 players that have been released and the news that we're not going to be spending up to the salary cap. And then, if we're feeling all right, we might finish off with, I don't know, maybe a goat, boys, because we haven't had a goat for a while. Although I do feel that having a goat at the end of the season is, is a little bit disingenuous. But anyway, I'm Pete and I'm joined by Miles and Lee for a cheeky beer and a bit of rugby banter. Anyway, boys, good to see you again. And we're on Zoom because we can't get our normal, as we said, we can't get our normal slot on a Tuesday night in the Bristol Beer Factory. They don't shut the whole place down for us in a midweek. But we're on Zoom. And of course, we couldn't do it Sunday because all of us in different ways, found it a bit difficult, didn't we? So let's start with you, Miles. I think it was always a bit of a guessing game on Twitter because I said, you know, one person's done their back in, one person's been playing golf all Sunday, and one person's gone MIA in Yorkshire, and everyone had to guess who was who. And of course, our mate Vader started that off, and obviously he got it right, 3 out of 3 straight away. So we better reveal the answers. So Miles, you did your back in, mate. What happened?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I took my son.
That's what old blokes do.
Well, we are old blokes. Well, I'm not as old as you two. However, I took my son mountain biking on a Sunday afternoon. Simple thing, like lifting my bike out of the car and like, oh, a little twinge on my back. And then I couldn't move for the rest of the evening. The Duchess had to feed me on the sofa. So I had a lovely little roast dinner on the sofa on Sunday evening. I couldn't even make it out to do a Zoom call with you boys. And yeah, the last minute had to sort of pull out due to my old age. So sorry about that, boys. But all, much better.
Miles, I told you to take those stabilizers off that bike, didn't I?
Exactly, mate. Exactly. But back to work today and feeling a lot better.
What, you mean you've had 2 days off?
No, one. Well, you say days off. I was working from home yesterday. There's no flipping rest, mate. So I was working, but from my sofa with the odd walk around and about to sort of keep the back loosened up. Yeah, yeah. No such thing.
Well, fair enough. I'm glad to hear that you're feeling better.
Miles, just quickly, Pete. Miles, how did you work from home? What did you have to do? Get the patients to come to you?
I was doing some of my managerial work, Lee, believe it or not. There's quite a bit of admin I'm able to do for my work PC. So worry not, I wasn't defrauding the NHS.
Fair enough. Thanks for clearing that up.
That's all right, mate.
And Lee, you did have a pre-planned weekend, to be fair. Do you want to talk through it?
Yeah, I did, but I was actually missing in action because we had me and my partner, Melissa, had a beautiful weekend in York. To celebrate my birthday. And I have to admit, if anyone was thinking of going to York, I just couldn't recommend it highly enough. It was an amazing place, full of history, and, you know, just everything was magical about it. But I was missing in action because we were scheduled to come back on Sunday. But because we were having such an amazing time there, we decided probably Saturday lunchtime that we were going to stay for an extra night. So I ended up coming back late yesterday in the end. So so you were factually correct in saying I was missing in action. So, but it was all worth it, mate. But one thing I've got to tell you, fellas, is that I haven't watched any of the game. and I'm going to be totally honest. I just was not going to put myself through any of that this weekend.
And turn off your score alerts as well, mate. I hope.
I did when it when it was at, you know, when it was starting to go
the wrong
tease
way.
Tease up, yeah. That was it. It was off, and I thought, because I'm not being funny, but that was a massive game for us, wasn't it, this weekend? And and we flunked it. Whichever way you look at it, we flunked it again. And I just have no intention of reliving, re-going through that again today. So,
well, you better turn off your microphone then, because me and Miles are going to have to talk about it.
I'm happy to listen to you two go through it, but...
Yeah, but you better not listen to the pod then, mate.
Yeah. Well, I've got to say, well, it sounds like you had a good weekend, didn't it?
And obviously, it does.
It was a big birthday as well. It was your 30th, was it? I think
that's it, mate. Yeah.
Well, it definitely was a birthday ending in zero. I know that. So I'm glad you had a good time. You know, it's nice. But one thing I have to pull you up on, you got me into a load of trouble, because when you told us about this 2 weeks ago, you said that you were going to the Red Rose County of Yorkshire. And I got lambasted by someone on Twitter who said that as a geography teacher, I should have pulled you up straight away and said that, of course, it's Lancashire is the Red Rose County and it's the White Rose of Yorkshire that you were going to.
And Pete, I was surprised that you didn't spot my deliberate mistake straight away.
That's straight out of my playbook. That is the teaching playbook.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, you have to remember, I went to Widwood School, Pete. So, you know, there's no, like, I've set the bar low for my academic levels. Yeah. So, red or white rose, it was all down to you, teach.
Yeah, and all the flags were burnt at your school, so you didn't know either way, did you, mate?
There certainly weren't any roses anywhere, were there? Well, yeah, fair enough. I'll take full responsibility for that and hang my head in shame. My weekend, some people might have thought that as a podcast, we were on the beach recently, not recording. But actually, the last bank holiday weekend, I literally was on the beach down at the Gower. It was the hottest day of the year and had a lovely time. And then this weekend, as I mentioned on Twitter, I was playing golf. I haven't played golf for a whole year. And then chose to play on one of the sweatiest days on Sunday. So even if you had been around and Miles hadn't done his back, I don't think we would have done the pod Sunday because I just couldn't move at all. But at least I did it for a good reason, not just like playing 18 holes in the sweltering heat, whereas Miles was just lifting a tiny little bike off a roof. But anyway, we better move on.
A toddler's bike, yeah.
Anyway, we better move on. Talking of sunny days, though, Miles, you and me. Well. Had a glorious day down at Ashton Gate in the sense that the sun was out. It was a great atmosphere. There was quite a lot of music playing. We went down early, didn't we, to the pop-up bar.
Yeah.
To see our mate Kai, to give us our regular double pinter. But this time it was so hot, we couldn't have milk stout. We had to have laser juice instead because milk stout would have been too heavy for that day. But yeah, we had a great day. And obviously we went down there full of expectation for what might be. We knew we had a decent shout to get into the playoffs. We were playing with confidence, momentum. We obviously discussed the fact that Saracens are the sort of team that, you know, we have to be wary of. But I don't know about you, mate. I was really quite confident that we were going to get some sort of result. And after the first 10 minutes, it was all looking up, wasn't it?
Well, absolutely. I mean, as you said, it was a fantastic sunny afternoon and we even had our legs out, didn't we? I mean, the first time of the year. Shorts, sorry. Yeah, I had our shorts on, legs out, sunglasses on. It was blooming glorious. We were joined by 20,900 supposed other fans, weren't we? I mean, the stadium was absolutely buzzing. It was a great atmosphere, top of the Lansdowne open, Atio open, and it just set the scene for what could have been a fantastic winning afternoon for Bristol Bears. And it certainly was for the first 10 minutes. Things were certainly looking up. Scored early with a great Bradley try. A little penalty kick from Adge. Wasn't Adge McGinty? And I think all Bristol fans thought, yeah, hang on, Saracens haven't turned up. Game on.
Yeah. No, I mean, I certainly was up for it. We started where we left off against all those other teams. I started where we left off against Leicester, to be honest. Forward domination, got to their line, drove the line a couple of times. And as I think I tweeted out, if Carlsberg did first try scorers, it would be Joe Batley, wouldn't it? And
oh, yes.
Joe Batley arose from some melee of players, fist pumping. Then we got another penalty. And at 10-0, you know, I obviously realised there was a long way to go. But I just thought, hey, if we keep playing like this, if we can get under their skin, we've got a real chance here. And then, of course, as is the way sometimes of Crystal Bears, off straight off the restart from the penalty, we had a couple of rucks in our 22. And then Harry did that thing that he's done before where he shaped to do a box kick, then dummied, passed it out to Adj, who then passed it. And I've got to say, wasn't a great pass. Passed it to Genji, who knocked it on in our 22. They got possession of the ball. And about four phases later, Mario Toje scores. And it was kind of at that. And then they had it right under the posts. And then suddenly, before you know it, it's 10-7. And it was at that moment, I genuinely did think, I'm not sure this is going to go our way. And then, to be fair, you know, I think we got to 13 all, didn't we? But everything then started just getting a little bit sloppy. We missed two lineouts in the 22. We knocked on. We just couldn't get more than two or three phases together. Harlequin started getting there. Saracens started dominating the breakdown. I mean, we were screaming about them being offside all the time, which they were. But, you know, what can you do? You've got to learn how to deal with this. And we've talked about, you know, how we don't cope that well with a rush defence. And unfortunately, we didn't really seem to have any answers.
Yeah, so, exactly. I mean, it didn't help that, you know, Stephen Erlango... you could say a poor attempt at an interception and then was yellow carded off at 14 minutes. I mean, you don't need to give Sarries any extra help, do you, in going down to 14 men? And we did then. I sort of agree with you. I mean, the ref, Dicko, was pretty, by any sort of standards, pretty bloody awful. You know, potentially not penalising Sarries offside. But, you know, they are masters of a flat line, aren't they? And if you can get away with it, they do time and time again. And if we don't learn to deal with that rush defence that the Sales and the Sarries of this teams of this league put upon us, we are not going to succeed at the top level of this game. I mean, you're absolutely right. You know, our set lineup piece was pretty poor, wasn't it? Which we have been not used to in the last few weeks. Ogre was overthrowing. Thacker came on later on and overthrew. And there were just too many knock-ons, poor execution, and we just didn't look like the side we did of late.
But I've got to say, and everything you say is true, you know, a set piece. Well, actually, we won a scrum penalty early on with Sinks, and set piece after but I've got to say that, and I said this in the post, the article, is that I actually think it was as much to do with their quality than it was anything to do with our failings. I think, you know, we were put under so much pressure that we were forcing things. I think we have to give credit to, you know, their line out defence. You know, Mario Toje nicked a couple of balls. They're just good operators. And I think, you know, I just think it's not necessarily our boys making mistakes. I think they were just, they were forced into them. And I think, it wasn't a case of just us being sloppy. I think it was a case of them making us sloppy. And I think I'm not really that upset about it. I think we were trying and that's good, but it just did highlight the fact that, you know, to coin a phrase or to paraphrase a phrase that's been used a lot, it still feels that we are quite a long way away, maybe not a million miles, but it was just felt like we just didn't have that depth of experience to cope with that situation. And I don't blame any individuals for it.
No.
But Sarries, you know, you look across their team and they've all been there. They've done it. They've seen it. They've done it. They're all class. I mean, they're almost like world-class players and they just didn't make any mistakes.
Yeah, you're right. And I think with their experience, Pete, you know, it was apparent, wasn't it, that they knew when and how to put the pressure on Bristol. And because of their class, and you're right, they're internationals, we just sometimes didn't have the answer of how to deal with their style of defence and attacking play. And that's you're right. We've got a fantastic team and it's just experience, isn't it? And experience at playing the top level teams when they play at their best. You know, and we were struggling, I think, to play ourselves out of trouble, weren't we? By, you know, people kept saying, you never cooked it, you never kicked it. And you're fine, play from our 22, but when you're facing a team like Sarri's, you know, maybe there was a point where we just needed to kick it one or two more times just to relieve the pressure because of how good they are. Not criticising Bristol's way of play, because it's been fantastic for the last 6 weeks, but yeah, Sarri's were just phenomenal at getting things right and getting under our skin.
I think it's a really good point, because there was a point in case in point where we were pummeling their 22 and we lost the ball. And then Owen, they popped a couple out, and then Owen Farrell hit. It wasn't just a 50-22, it was a 22-22. It was a phenomenal clearance kick, and it was a controlled kick, and it just completely changed the momentum. They then had a line out. In our
probably scored, didn't they? I can't quite remember.
And it's just those moments, you know, it's just knowing when to do the right thing. And there was, you know, when you're getting smothered by a rush defence, maybe you do have to just change the momentum a little bit and sit a little bit deeper and then just drill one into the corner, get them on their back feet a little bit. We still were in the game. But I think second half, when Thacker came on and scored immediately, I think we went to 26-20. So, you know, there was something to play for. But I think the second half, the most disappointing thing was when, you know, they, and it's hard to say the ref had a bad game really, because he did card them twice and gave us some, you know, they were decisions that if they had happened to us, we probably would have moaned about it. But we just didn't make it count. And I think with 13 men, I remember they then cleared their lines, got into our 22, and then we were two forwards up and we somehow gave away a penalty in a ruck. It's like, how can we do that in front of our 22 when they've only got like about four players? I mean, I'm sure there was all sorts of dark arts going on, but you should be better enough to shut that down. So fair play to Sarri's. I thought it was a really good masterclass in proper English rugby by them. And they didn't just kick it. They actually came to play as well. And when they found the spaces, you know, Daly had a great game. Often been a critic of Daly, as a lot of people have. I thought he played really well. Their winger, who looks like Ibitoyi, like at times, Begum or whatever he's called, looks like, I mean, it was like a carbon copy. He had a good game. They've got some blooming Argentinian in the back rows, which is an absolute beast. So I don't know, boys. It was it was disappointing. You know, we had 20,000 people. We had a lot of, you know, the crowd were good. I thought we were very vocal.
Yeah,
good atmosphere. We just couldn't raise ourselves.
Yeah, I think the problem was of those 20,000 people, say like 18,000 were Bristol supporters. None of them brought their darts in a darts board, did they? I mean, you know, I was trying to throw the minute Theo Dan came on, I had my treble 19.
I had my
dart ready close to the pitch, but just couldn't reach him, boys, couldn't reach him. And he got better and better.
Well, so Lee, at this point, because we've mentioned the dart board, I think it's time for you to come in and say something.
Well, it was just interesting in listening to you guys talk about it there. I mean, I just want to pick up on what you said then, Pete. We just couldn't raise ourselves. And why couldn't we raise ourselves? Like you both said, we've had a full house again, right? Mm. This is probably the third or fourth time now in a competitive game where we've had a packed Ashton Gate and we've failed to come up with the goods again. And it's difficult for me to criticize without watching the game, but just listening to you guys, it just sounded like not that you were making excuses for our players, but it's almost like, why can't we raise our game? That was a must win game for us, all in our own hands. If we win that game Saturday, then the trip to Quinns is always going to be difficult. We all agreed on that. It was two tough games, but we're at home. We've got the backing of the crowd. You know, something inherently is not quite right, is it?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it was a day for any team to play good rugby. And I think this is one of the problems with Ashton Gate. It's a wide open, expansive stadium with a good surface. And actually, you know, rugby crowds are fickle. You know, I know we did, but it's not quite the same as like going to an Italian football match where you've got like an ultra section who's just constantly singing.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
I don't know. I when I meant raise myself, I didn't mean there was no lack of effort. I think that they were really trying. I just think they were just being forced into forcing it too much. But maybe you're right. It kind of almost, we ironically had gone too far in that mindset of we're going to break Saracens by running and we're going to break. And of course, we know that that only works if you're absolutely clinical. And absolutely. You and I wrote in my phone, I said, we've got to look after the ball more. We've got, to, you know, we just weren't keeping possession of the ball for more than two or three phases. And then when we did build some pressure, we then overthrew the line out, or, you know, we mucked it up, or it was even things like those, you know, those beautiful little moves when it goes to a forward and they pivot round, someone's coming on the, you know, a couple of those just didn't work, you know, a couple of players popped it and there was no one there, and then the momentum went. So I don't know. It was just, no, you know, nobody's got any right to win a game by just turning up and having a good stadium. But your point is really good. At some point, we need to, particularly at home, you're right, we need to win these games at home when we've got a fair win behind us. And, you know, maybe that if we do get an away, if we do sneak into the playoffs, I'd rather play Northampton away than Saracens. Because, I mean, that is a proper home advantage. And the reason they win there is because it's been horrible and they're used to playing there. But it's interesting. I listened to the old Rugby Union Weekly podcast this week, and Ugo Monya and Chris Ashton were talking, and they were at the game, and they were saying that he couldn't believe how intense Saracens were in their warm-up. Their warm-up was like they did about half an hour of high-intensity warming up. So they were absolutely fun. They were on it, and they obviously had that fitness to keep it going. And of course, when you're on the front foot, you do find a little bit of extra energy. And it was just a shame, you know, after 10-0 up, we were looking good. And I think if we'd scored again, you know, it might have been a different game. Siva getting carded was a bit of a bummer, because actually we almost got away with it. We almost kept them out for the whole 10 minutes and they scored just as he was running back onto the pitch. And that was a stupid penalty because we were already on a penalty. So he didn't really, it was very high risk what he did. And I can't say, I did see him after the game. And I don't know whether he recognised, because I was saying to Max Leave, oh, can you say something for Bears Beyond the Gate? And he heard me say it and he came up and shook our hand. So I did get this feeling that he's actually he's a fan. So, and he was a lovely guy. He was like, oh, yeah. Hi. So I just think, you know, it was a rugby incident. That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Well, if he is a fan of the pod, he's going to hate me saying this, but that was back to Siva, the liability again, wasn't it? And the thing is, we have to call it because, you know, people see it and we can't just paper over it, can we?
Yeah, it was a shame. But yeah, and after that, he didn't really have that many opportunities. And but anyway, it was kind of disappointing. But in a way, it made me think that, you know, we left a little bit too much to do in the second half of the season. We've had a great, fantastic run since the restart. But it was always going to be tough, and it's just a real shame that we didn't go through. Lee, is there anything else you want to ask us? Any questions about the game that we might be able to enlighten you with, or are you happy that you've read the summary?
I think unless you guys want to relive any more of it, I think I'm quite happy to just put that one to bed. But one thing I would say, though, Pete, is, and I think, Miles, you'd agree, you know, From our position a couple of months ago, I think if we were off, you know, if anyone said to us that we'd still be in with even the slightest chance of getting in the top four, we would have bitten our hand off for it. And I do feel that we need to give the boys a massive pat on the back for, you know, the comeback that we've had and the getting back to our Bears style of play again. So, I mean, it's not all doom and gloom. And I think it's out of our hands now. But
yeah, I think so.
I don't see us making it personally without being too pessimistic, but it's going to be a tough ask.
Yeah. But, sorry, mate.
But I do feel that, you know, from where we were a few months ago, we've made massive strides going into the end of the season. And we do lack that experience, that proper match experience of, you know, the experienced players that Sarri's had at the end.
Yeah, I think what's also hugely disappointing is the fact that we came away with absolutely 0 points on Saturday.
Yeah.
And that just reiterates what you said. The experience in just grinding out something. We did it last weekend against Leicester, albeit a very different side. We flipping well dug in and did it, and we won. And we couldn't do it this weekend against a quality side. And yeah, we're absolutely right. The fantastic run of games. We could probably thank Connacht for, you know, the uplift in our form, can't we? And, you know what? It's basically got Bristol Bears style of rugby in the news and the press week after week after week. And we have to be hugely proud of the fact that people are talking about Bristol again. It's fantastic. But when we got a knuckle down and the chips are down, we can look back on it and say, when it really mattered, we failed to convert bonus points. And that's ultimately potentially why we are going to struggle to get into the top four.
Yeah, no, I think that's a fair point. I'm just looking through some of the short, sharp summaries that were sent through about the game. And I feel like I ought to read a few out, actually, because they're always a bit more, they're always actually a little
upbeat.
they're a bit more focused when people are actually there watching it. So
yeah.
I think it is our last home game of the season. So I'm going to whip through quite a few really quickly. So our first one, we had Carwin Jones, who's done a few with us before. He said, take the experience, not getting bonus points enough this season. Let's beat Quins, brackets Quinstanbul, if you will. Oh, I knew I got that from somewhere. And finish fifth. Target playoffs next season with a really exciting squad. Tom Bartley, who we met at the live pod. Cracking atmosphere. Saracens immense. They controlled the game and killed our momentum, if a bit cynically at times. We lost oomph when AJ went off. Depth at 10, ? Interesting, might come back to that. Yeah. Dominic Somerville. We knew what was coming from Sarries and couldn't put it all together when we needed it. No lack of effort and no complaints, just where we are at the moment. Hopefully with Matter and Grondahla. We said Grondahla. We signed someone else. I thought it was Grondahla.
Grondahla.
It's a cousin. It's Santi Grondona's cousin. It's Luigi Grondahla is coming. and hopefully with Matter and Grondahla, we will have more in the engine room. Well, I think he's got a good point there. Bears Gamer, another friend of the pod, fantastic occasion, brilliant atmosphere, incredible start, sloppy as the game went on, beaten by clinical and deserving Saracens in the end. John Wood, we met at the pod and down the beer factory. Saracens aren't Newcastle. We didn't adapt and paid the price. Jamie George thanked us for sticking to the Bears way. Huard for Nualango every time. Interesting. Yeah, we did mention Huard came on and made a bit of an impact, actually, in a short amount of time. Lloyd Rimmer said, as Lee's favourite fan, it's him that's missing in action, not the team. Rugby in the sunset, or rugby's in it, sunset. Playing to the plan is okay. Playing a game where we attack and recognise space is also okay, but we are allowed to play outside the plan sometimes. Our music life, funky house, R&B, we know who that is, from Kate.
Oh, yes.
She said, fifth place finish more lightly, but I do fancy Leicester and Sarries to win their home games. So let's believe. She's an eternal optimist. Fantastic. Yeah. From our Debs. Briz at Brisley. I didn't spot this. Came in with an alliteration. Bristol Bears bludgeoned by band of Bedouins.
Oh, nice. Wow. I like that.
That is a very clever little allusion to the fez wearers. Nick Howell. Another big fan of the pod, rightly beaten. Ref had nothing to do with his losing. Never really fired a shot. Still can't beat the blitz defence. Bring on Quins. Mark Johnson. He came in with a very three-word review. Hard to bear.
Like it. Like it, Mark.
And then Jules. Jules at Jules. Not my Jules, because she never listens to the pod or has anything to do with it. But beaten at our own game, but proves the way we can work with just a tweak or two and some better handling. What an atmosphere. Bears beyond the gate feedback from last year gave us the whole car park afterwards too. Got my goat. What, no IPA before the match even started? Grrr. But he's right. We slagged off the Wurzels being in that tiny bit. And this on Saturday, Lee, they had a massive stage and they used the whole of the car park.
Whole car park, yeah.
So clearly they listened. I'd forgotten about that. And then Alex.
Did you boys see any of that, by the way?
Yeah,
we went on a beer afterwards. It was good, actually. It was good atmosphere.
Brilliant.
But they did kick us out of the stadium quite quickly, which was something that a few people have mentioned.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know whether they just wanted us to get out in the sun. And but it was good. And then finally, Alex said, is Ugo deliberately going around rival stadiums and picking fights with fans? Or is everyone else just racist? Because apparently there was some sort of set too, I heard. But I don't know what it was. Yeah, but Ugo and one of our fans, so who knows? Might have been football fans, who might have been any old fan. Doesn't really matter what sport.
No, obviously had
a few beers. So, yeah,
well,
so a lot of...
Well, we should say we don't know what was said.
No, we don't. And I'm not even going to speculate on it, really, because I have no idea. And, you know, you shouldn't really speculate on things you don't know about. But, boys, I forgot. There was one last person I want to mention. And this was our... Well, because we're coming to the end of the season, I'm kind of looking at my end of year reports, and I've been looking back through all of the input from all of our listeners on all of the short, sharp summaries. And there's one person who has undoubtedly come out top of the class when it comes to replying to our tweets. And this, he didn't even wait for me to put out that I was going to do a short, sharp profile. He just got in there. I think he did it on Saturday night. So he got in there early. And it is. So our end of season, we haven't done end of season awards yet, have we? But our first end of season award for the best short, sharp summariser of the season. Can we have a drum roll, boys? Have a drum roll. Goes to @officialJAH, Hammy Hambly. He said, at Bears Beyond the Gate, getting this in early. It's another acrostic, boys. I want you to listen carefully and tell me what the word is. Yeah. Are you ready?
Go.
Yeah.
Got outplayed by a solid Sarries team. Underperforming officials. The team unfortunately couldn't gel. The playoffs are still there for us. Ending the season better than started. Dan Thomas should have been given another contract. And
Gutted.
Gutted.
Oh,
Hammy Hambly.
Love it.
Pick up
love
your recommendation at some point, random point in the future. That's exactly like one of my lessons. I just promise commendations and then never actually give them out. And then, which is
we can promise him a beer and not tell him where we're going to be.
Yeah, we owe him a beer.
You know, we've upset now is obviously his brother, Robin. Oh, I mean,
Robin Hambly.
We could have a family feud in front of us this weekend.
Robin Hambly didn't get involved. So if you don't get involved, you don't get the plaudits.
No, that's fair enough.
Maybe that's a bit of feedback Robin needs to take. Don't just give up. You've got to keep going.
But I do feel, Pete, the season's not over yet. So if Robin comes in with a big one, on Saturday evening.
Well, I think
you've already given the award away.
I'm actually expecting Robin to come in at least 25 minutes after the final whistle on Saturday. So we'll see. We'll see. But, boys, that was some great little summaries. Kind of, you know, I think was a nice way to finish because that summarised it. However, we did get one live bit of feedback from a fan at the stadium. And we haven't done much of that recently. So I did record it with my phone. And I'm going to play it now, boys. And this, who do we think this is? Give us your thoughts on the game.
Well, I've got to say it was looking good in that first 10, 15 minutes, taking the early lead. Then, you know, we get punished by a very good team. You miss a few passes, you knock a few on. You've got to give credit to Saracens, really. They were absolutely clinical. But, hey, we've got in this position because we've played attacking, no-nonsense rugby for, you know, the last 3 or 4 months. You've got to stick with it. So if you ask most fans in December, on Christmas Day, if you said with 2 games to go, we'd be fighting for a top four, they would have laughed you out of Ashton Gate. And here we are, still with a very, very slim chance next week of making the top four. So you've got to say, Pete, it's been a season of two halves.
The spirit of Bears Beyond the Gate lives on.
I love it.
Gone, but not forgotten. Well, lads, did you recognise those dulcet tones? Who was it, Lee?
Well, it did take me a while, but I reckon that's our good old mate TC, Tony.
It was.
Formerly of Bears Beyond the Gate.
It was. So Tony was there. We were there watching all the players give the goodbye. And I said, come on, Tone, give us one little summary. And of course, there we go. That's what we've been missing, all that very concise, like well thought out analysis.
But we should say he's put on his telephone voice there, hasn't he? Yes. Totally. There was no Cornish in that at all.
No.
Definitely his Bristol voice, that was. Yeah, he pulled that out. So, yeah, nicely summarised, Tone. Well, look, lads, we obviously have got one more game to go. We know that. Mm-hmm. We've talked about it. There's still something to play for. It's a tough assignment. You know, it's more A-level than SATs. We've got to go to Southwest London, we've got to get a bonus point. They've got to get a bonus point. So I'd like to think it's going to be quite a good game. Us three, we're all going. We're going for our Bears Beyond the Gate away day. We're going on the supporters coach. Thanks to Kaylee for squeezing us in. And like looking at us, she like literally is squeezing us in. Well, maybe you, me and you, Lee. Miles is a bit, he can slot in quite in.
He's in the middle.
Well, I didn't tell you, we've only got two seats for three of us. So me on one side, Lee, and Miles slotted in the middle, as you rightly say.
Right. Up in the luggage section. I mean,
you know, Harlequins, it's everything to play for. I don't think we need to speculate too much on how we're going to play. I think we're going to give it a go, aren't we? We've got absolutely nothing to lose. You know, hopefully it will be a sunny day. We know what they're going to do. We know that we can beat them. They are a hot and cold sort of team. And it's a bit of a shame they're not looking forward to a European Cup final to be distracted. But Lee, I mean, you're going to be there. What are your thoughts on A, how it might go, and do you think we'll change anything at all?
No, I think we've set our stall out now. It's going to be a really, really tough gig. I think, to be honest, I'll be happy whatever, because I'm out with my mates, last game of the season. And as to quote Binsey, our good old mate Binsey, win or lose, we're on the booze.
Yeah, and luckily someone else is driving, which is even better. And and hopefully we're going to meet up with the Harlequins boys, actually. I'm going to drop them a line, see if we can have a cheeky beer with them beforehand and maybe get some advice, because they seem to have gone stratospheric with like live pods at the stoop. They got even pitch side at Twickenham, I noticed.
On their summer game?
Yeah, summer, they've gone to a different level.
But they have had massive backing from their club.
That's true. And they probably asked for it, to be fair. And they're a good, and they're good lads as well. They're good looking. You know, they're young. I think that helps.
They must be half our age, surely.
Yeah. That helps.
They're not crusty old coots like us. So, about you, Miles, any thoughts on the weekend?
Yeah, it's going to be an extremely tough assignment. I mean, let's not beat around the bush. We have to play out of our skin. And hope really that Quinns slip up a little bit to get that bonus point win. I mean, there could be an awful lot of tries, because we both need 5 points. You know, we need other results to go our way. It's not where we wanted to be, is it, boys? When we bought those tickets a couple of months ago, we thought we'd be flying high. What we would have won at the weekend, but you know, what the heck, let's go for it. You know, let's not change the style of rugby that Bristol play, making an exciting game and really try and get the win. And if we don't, the three of us just absolutely leathered and enjoy the day anyway, I think.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, let's not get too leathered, because we've got to get the coach back. And
I've got to work the next day. Oh,
yeah, me too. Me too.
Yeah. So don't say that, because Kaylee listens to this, I think.
I'm joking.
She's already looking for the plastic, like put plastic sheets on the seats already.
Listen, it'd be nice to actually spend some time with some other, you know, some other Bristol fans and chat to some of our listeners. Yeah. And yeah, it'll be fun. Hopefully, it will be. We've never been to the stoop with the three of us together, have we?
No.
So I think it's going to be a really good game, a good day out.
I should just say as well, I wanted to thank you guys as well, because, you know, you very kindly bought my ticket for me. So for my birthday. So it is something I genuinely do appreciate. And, you know, I nearly collapsed on the floor when Miles had told me about it, because getting a pint out of you two is bad enough. But I do genuinely, all joking aside, I do genuinely appreciate that.
That's
so
fine.
It was, you know, fair play, fellas.
Yeah, right. You did get the right year, the right game, didn't you, Pete? I just
You've got a ticket, haven't you? I haven't even seen
your
tickets.
Yeah, I have. Yeah. Oh, right. Okay, yeah. It's all good. You're only, you know, you're only 21, Slee. Yeah.
This is where I find out I'm sat in with the Quinns bands, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't know where you're sat. Yeah, you're right. Well, look, boys, I think that's fine. We've got one more thing, I think, to talk about, and it was just the fact that the last home game of the season always is when they announce the retained list just before. So you kind of find out who's staying, and more importantly, you find out who's leaving. And there was a good old 17 people on that list, boys. And interestingly, obviously some we knew about already because they've already signed. So Sinks going to Toulon and Callum Chidi going to Cardiff, Piers O'Connor going to Connacht. But actually, I thought, not only was it quite sad to see players leaving because that is their livelihood, so a lot of them didn't have contracts anywhere else, did they?
Yeah.
I don't know if you boys want to pick up on one or two of those players and make a comment or two. Lee, you go first.
Yeah, I think the biggest one for me, the biggest miss, would be Dan Thomas because I've just absolutely loved watching him play in a Bears shirt. And yeah, I think we genuinely will miss him. And I don't know, he's just one player I feel he's never had the proper rub of the green with Pat. And for whatever reason, again, we probably, it's best we don't speculate, but I'd be genuinely sad to see him go. And he was the best seven I think we've had for a while. Really enjoyed watching him play.
Yeah, best seven since George Smith, probably.
Yeah.
I think it was a real shame. I mean, it's double shame because it's a shame he's going. It's a shame he hasn't, doesn't appear to have anywhere to go yet, but I'm sure someone will snap him up. He's way too good a player not to be,
You've
got to look forward to it. He's got to go back and lift a few sheep on his farm. Maybe that's what he wants to do.
Maybe
he wants to.
I mean, and that is tricky, isn't it? Because obviously, the Welsh regions haven't got loads of money, have they, to spend? And, you like to think probably that would be his first choice.
Yeah.
But, we just really hope he does get a contract sorted out sooner rather than later, really.
Anyone you want to mention?
Yeah, I think a couple. I mean, the fact that the top of the list, we've lost sort of four centurions. It's just quite a surprise, isn't it? I'd say another one, which is a bit surprising, who... is our sort of mate Fred Davies, who's come on when required and stepped up and not put a foot wrong. So, but we speculated that we had a few too many players in that position and a few unknowns had come in and couldn't quite work out why, could we? Ultimately, Fred is off again. A bit of a shame. Our out and out scrummager, our Cornish friend Jay Tyack, who looked promising, I know was brought in as injury cover. A horrendous injury pretty much the first game of the season. And that sadly could have been a result of him sort of leaving. Yeah, so I'm a bit of a shame about Fred Davies and Jay Tyack, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't feel that we're losing quite a lot of beef out of the front row and the engine room. And are we happy we've got enough replacements? We've still got at the front row, Jan Thomas obviously re-signed. We've got Jake Woolmore. We've got Max Zahif and we've got Genji. But, it only takes a couple of injuries, doesn't it, early in the season?
Yeah.
We've got George Klosker, obviously, who is a lot of faith has been put into him. And hopefully he'll come through next season. There's a lot on that list it's tough. Lee, you were going to say something.
I was just going to say, we could always go back to the old, was it Nicky Thomas loan signing again? We could be back there.
Nicky Thomas has been sat by his phone for about the last 2.5 years waiting for it to ring. He's put on about 20 stones since then. Actually, going back to the Fred Davies one, which I agree with you, I thought he'd done enough, but maybe there's stuff we don't know. But then we sign another hooker who's played a bit, played at Donny. But Fred Davies has played in the Premiership and it looked good, and knows the system. And then we've lost Oscar Lennon, haven't we? So, he was a very promising scrum half, but we signed another scrum half. So, it's hard. I got to say, I didn't tell you boys that I went to that Q&A that Pat did at the Bristol Beer Factory week before last. And it was actually really impressive. I got to say, he's a very good speaker. He was very funny.
We all know that.
Yeah. And, And I can't remember. Oh, no. And I asked him a question. I said, what is your hardest job? You know, what's your biggest challenge? Because you talk a lot about success and how to acquit yourself as a professional. But, you know, you must have your doubts sometimes and challenges. And he said, yeah, selection process is the hardest thing. And, you know, there's a lot of good players out there that he can't give game time to. And although dual registration has helped, you know, he kind of talked about how certain players just, you know, just, and then they obviously rate that Woolston home because they gave him another contract, didn't they? So,
yeah. I mean, Pat's already said that obviously we're streamlining everything for next season, aren't we? So I think once you set your stall out, that's the agenda. And it's obviously talked about through, you know, for all the coaches as well and discussed. So, you know, I guess only time will tell if streamlining has been kind of cut to such a degree that we're going to struggle next year or whether we're going to be okay. But like you say, only time will tell, won't it?
Yeah, I mean, other clubs have also, apart from Bath, by the looks of it, have cut. And I think Saracens are going to, they must be cutting a few. The Vunipolas are going, aren't they? They mentioned.
Yeah.
I can't see how they can keep that squad together. Farrell's going. And he is such a talisman, Farrell, I've got to say. I'd forgotten how much of a talisman he is until I saw him play on Saturday, actually. That is going to be a massive loss for Saracens. So who knows? We could be quite, you know, I'm quite positive. Could be pretty competitive.
Well, we should say as well, I mean, Chiefs managed to do it quite successfully last year, haven't they, into this season. So, you know.
Yeah, we can, you know, I'd like to think we can do that as well.
But I mean, it's funny that, you know, the for the first time, really, I read quite recently that, you know, us not spending up to the cap, we are not now described as just the Bristol the money men for the first time in many a year.
Wow.
And we don't, you know, we've had no inkling as to who the marquee signing is this year, to be perfectly honest, have we? And there is then money in the cap for potentially that marquee signing, or if you know, we need to bring in some talent very quickly, the money is there, you know, through the very, very generous Steve Lansdowne. So maybe it is sensible just not to spend right up to the cap going into a new season.
I do
see how we go, yeah.
I do think it's a risk that we haven't got another 10 in, though. I'm not sure,
I'd agree.
I think we talked about that a lot. I agree. Yeah.
I know. And Jimmy Williams, you know, he's actually established himself as a centre. And because he's had a great season, I'm not sure he'd want to play fly half if he had to, because he's just, you know, it's two different positions, isn't it?
And I wouldn't want to mess him around like that.
No, I don't like this idea of flip-flopping people around. You know, it's never worked. Playing people out of position, as Harry Thacker would tell you, but he had to play flanker earlier in the season and he didn't know what the hell he was going on. And so I'm sure he did know what was going on, but I'm sure he did. That was an experiment that was slightly swept under the carpet quite quickly, wasn't it?
And that's hot off the press, I guess, really, is the fact that I think there has been an announcement that AJ McGinty's failed his HIA protocol, isn't he? And it just does point that he was now not available to be selected for our, you could argue, our most important crunch game of the season.
Yeah. So that means, I think I read the same thing, but Shido's may start because he's fit again.
Yeah, it would appear so.
I kind of think Shido's got nothing to lose, has he?
No, so of course not.
But the only worry, and I know our mate Mark, who sits in front of us, will want me to say this, is that if he does play, he may well get targeted down that 10 channel by some of their big lumps,
Don
Brandt and the likes, and we'll fancy having a pop at him because we do think that AJ's defence is a bit better. So,
And it's also quite ironic that we're going into the last game of the season them relying on a guy who, you know, has been an immense, you know, character in the whole squad, but we'll be playing for another side next season.
I agree.
It can only be Bristol Bears, couldn't it?
Yeah.
Actually, we didn't really talk about selection, but I actually think I'd like to see Huard start, actually, if he's fit. Ibitoi, Huard, Malins. By the way, Lee, we've got to tell you, Malins was absolutely immense under the high ball on Saturday.
Phenomenal.
They did pepper him. He looked, and he didn't, you know, he did his best. He didn't really get much space. Although, I think Huard looked lively when he came on at the end. I can't really see much changes in the pack. Bradbury had a bit of a quiet game. That's the only thing. But I think they'll want to play well in the last game of the season. So I can't see, unless there's any injuries, I think we'll go with pretty much the same pack. Ogre potentially, you could say Thacker might start, but then it's quite nice having Thacker as an impact player at the moment. So we'll see. But I do think I think it'll be fun. And I think we've just got to like relax and enjoy it, boys. And, you know, we know that it's an outside chance, and if we do manage to pull something off, that'll be great. And we'll enjoy it and have a pint with the fancy boys from Southwest London. Well, lads, I think we better call it a day. That's a good old 45 minutes. I think we've done enough rambling. We did say we were going to have a goat. I don't feel like it's a goat sort of pod, actually. I mean, we were a bit disappointed how they ushered everybody out of the stadium quite quickly after the presentations. And I just do think there is an issue with, we've still got a lot of work to do, the club, with kind of creating that atmosphere for next season a little bit more. I know they've done a lot of work, the Bears advisory committee and stuff like that. But I do feel, you know, there is a slight missing link connection between the players and the fans. And at the end of the day, rugby is not in a great place and everyone's got to pull together. And I think, with the exception, there are some great, I mean, people like Genji was there a lot. People were engaging. Bo Batley engaged a lot. But it's that kind of, the formal stuff's not that difficult. It's the in-between stuff. It's like wandering into the bar and accepting you're going to have to chat with people for a bit. And I think they need to somehow bring that feeling connection back with the fans a little bit. But winning always helps and playing well always helps. Yeah, so let's hope that that's going to be the primary objective on Saturday and beyond. So boys, I think we'll give it a miss. We'll give it a, call it a day, I should say, not give it a miss. We'll call it a day. We've got more to do. We'll obviously look to squeeze in our final pod next weekend if we can, to regale people with our travel stories. But although nothing will be ever as good as the travel story at Tigers when Nathan Hughes was like sidestepping across the road to go to a kebab shop. But hey, something like that might happen. You never know. So I think we'll do the same old thing. We'll say thanks, everyone, for listening. Have a good week. And up the Bears.
Up the Bears.